Coming up on this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society, there's a new Castlevania series on Netflix. What a horrible night to have a curse. It's spooky to go alone, so the Nintendo Cartridge Society goes with you. Welcome to Nintendo Cartridge Society. My name is Patrick Ellers, joined as always by my co-host Mark Mitchell.
Hey, Patrick, how's it going?
Not bad. I feel like I stumbled through that.
I thought it sounded great.
Great, thank you.
And I'm jaded, so either I would know that you stumbled through it, or I would know and I didn't care.
Or you're just placating me.
No, I think it sounded good.
Okay. Well, look, we're not here to compliment each other.
I mean, well, you know, it doesn't hurt.
No, it's true. Mark, you look very nice.
You
today.
Look nice as well. Thank
Actually,
you.
I do like this polo shirt.
Thank wearing. You very much. I can't remember exactly where I got it, but I feel like it was a gift from somebody in my family at some point.
It looks soft.
Do you want to touch it?
I
you
do.
Can touch it.
I do. Thank you. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it's comfortable. Can I touch your t-shirt only because, you know, like tit for tat is how we run
yeah,
this show?
Sure, right.
Yeah. That's also nice. I'm not just saying that.
This is a shirt I've had for a long time.
You don't have to
think
explain
it's an
yourself.
Old Navy
no,
shirt.
No, 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 no. You don't have
Look,
to explain
Look, I'm in my own
me.
Home here, Mark. I don't need to justify myself to you.
Whereas I am not in my own home, so I dress nice.
I see where this is going.
Nowhere but Complimentville.
Look. I'm happy in Complimentville. We don't ever need to move out of Complimentville. Do you think it would be appropriate for us to move on to our topic of the week?
Yes, I feel like that would be appropriate.
All right, let's do it. We're just recording now.
Yeah, and then we'll can edit it as necessary.
Great.
Yeah.
Or not.
So we're going to talk about Netflix, Castlevania series. Let's flip that around. We're going to talk about the Castlevania series on Netflix. Animated 4 episodes came out last Friday, and we all had a chance to watch some of it. We're joined today by comedian Colin J. Morris.
Hey.
Hi, Colin.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for agreeing to watch this thing. I was going to say with us, but
yeah,
we all did it in the comfort of our own homes.
Uh-huh. That's right.
I was in my bed.
I was on my couch.
I was on my sofa bed. That's not true. I don't own a sofa bed, but I wanted to.
You wanted to be halfway between.
Yeah, I wanted to do a thing. I was on my bed. I don't have any other furniture in my apartment besides my bed and then like the folding chair that's at my computer. So it was a bed. It was a bed
so
watch.
What is the computer resting on?
Like a folding table.
Like oh, okay, okay.
Like a you know one of those.
A third piece of furniture.
A third piece. Oh yeah, okay. If you want to really get into it, is a refrigerator furniture? Or that's an appliance.
Appliance.
Okay,
I think,
so
yeah,
three.
Unless you use it as furniture, we're a little off track.
Hey, we're a little off track.
I keep my books on the shelves of the furniture because I don't have bookshelves.
on the shelves of the refrigerator?
Yeah, did I say furniture?
I think so.
All right, sorry.
It's okay, we were off topic. None of that counted. So, Castlevania. Why is this thing attractive to us? I know why we wanted to talk about it, because it's about a video game. Mm-hmm. And a video game that we experience on Nintendo platforms.
And a video game that I, or like a video game series that I like.
Yeah, well, do you want to talk a little bit about like what the Castlevania games that you like, what are the games that you like in the series?
Castlevania 4 is the one that I played the most.
That's Super Castlevania?
Super Castlevania. And I think that's the best one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the most fun. I never owned a PlayStation, borrowed one in like college from friends. So that's when I played Symphony of the Night, but I didn't play it until way later.
I've still never played Symphony of the Night.
How is that possible?
I understand that that is like one of the originators of the Metroidvania genre, which I profess to love, but I've never played it.
Have you played any of the DS or like GBA Castlevania titles?
No.
Okay. All right. I have.
So
most of them are really fun.
So most of my experience with the Castlevania games is Castlevania's 1 and 2 on the NES, which I don't really think are that good of games.
No, 2 is not a very good game at all.
Colin, you've played some Castlevania, yes?
No.
None whatsoever.
I've never... So this is interesting. I was not perplexed, but I was really interested when you asked me to watch this series and come on the show and talk about it. Honored, of course, but I'm pretty sure Patrick is wholly aware that I do not play video games of any kind, mm-hmm. and I do not watch anime. So I was like, oh, what's going on here? But that being said, I actually I did really enjoy it. And I think I figured out pretty immediately why it was you asked me to be involved. And that's because it's about Dracula's.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I love me some Dracula horror stuff.
You sure do. What, Colin, what's your connection to Dracula's and horror stuff?
Well, I mean, besides like all out like obsession about it, you know, like monsters are my thing. So recently in the last couple of years, I've become very heavily involved with this band called Drac and the Swamp Rats.
I've seen Drac and the Swamp Rats a couple times.
They're fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are, they're a monster band. They like to party rock and roll and they like rule the night and eat people. And they're very violent and very awesome. And so I've directed some music videos for them. I've helped produce some records with them, done all sorts of stuff.
No, what is it about vampires and monsters? First of all, is it like vampires and then all other monsters, or do you like is it all lumped together? Is there a hierarchy for you?
I mean, as far as what monsters I like the most?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was I had a neighbor who had all of the like Japanese bootleg VHS, and I was, you know, all the old black and white movies. I can't remember the title. Well, Godzilla, just every Godzilla movie.
Uh-huh.
So those were my favorite. So growing up, Godzilla was my favorite monster. And then I think when I got into like high school, I sort of became more obsessed with like slashers, and like obviously Scream like changed the game, and that got me more into horror films. And then reading American Vampire really sort of
mm-hmm.
rejuvenated my love of the vampire and all that lore.
Well, and you're also big into Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot of vampires in that.
There is, yeah. Almost too many.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what Buffy the Vampire Slayer could use? More robot episodes. Like, one-off robot episodes, I think, are the major strength of that show.
Yeah, they don't pop up a lot.
No, but the three times they do, it's terrible.
So you're coming at the series more from a just general appreciation for
blood and fire and all the horrible things.
Which
yeah.
there is a lot of.
Oh my God, episode
one.
First
episode.
Oh, in all four episodes, right?
I don't know. Okay.
Well, maybe not fire, but.
I thought the first episode was awesome.
I did too.
Yeah, first episode was dope.
And I thought the fourth episode was cool. And I thought the two episodes in the middle were huge snooze fests.
Snoozers, right?
Yeah.
So, confession time for me. I fell asleep for maybe a minute during the second episode, trying my hardest to pay attention and be like, what does this priest guy want?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
But, like, yeah, this thing really drags in the middle.
And it's 2 hours of content. And the fact that an hour of it just is dragging is kind of hard, you know?
Well, it's because Trevor Belmont is a huge bummer in this.
Yeah, boo to Trevor Belmont.
He's meant to be, like, really, like, kind of witty and sarcastic and world-weary, but none of that comes across.
So, okay, help me out here. The only two voice actors that I recognized in the credits were Richard Armitage, a.k.a. Thorin Oakenshield from the Hobbit movies.
Mm-hmm. And is that the sexy...
sexy dwarf?
Dwarf?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
It's right. It's the only dwarf that doesn't have a dwarf body.
Right,
that's
yeah.
right. Callus, James Callus from Battlestar Galactica.
Which character was he?
I don't remember. Is that Gaius?
Oh, Gaius.
From Battlestar?
Yeah, he's great.
But so my question...
Who did he play in this?
This is what I'm asking. I think if he plays anyone, he plays Alucard, which is Dracula's son.
Yes. Okay. Who you may not have seen.
Right, because he's... Okay, so yeah, I guess disclosure time for the listener. I also fell asleep in the middle. so he's the blonde guy, right? He's the Alex Winter looking dude.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
So you see him briefly in the first episode.
Yes. And he shows up in the fourth
episode. Okay. I assumed it was a brother relationship. I didn't get patriarchal from Dracula on that, but maybe Dracula's just not a great dad.
I think that's definitely true.
Oh, yeah. I think hands down, there's no argument.
Amazing husband, though. I was so shocked. I mean, I don't want to get off on a tangent already, but I love just the opening scene. I was like, okay, who is this Dracula? This is not a Dracula I am familiar with.
Right.
I was a little turned off by him. I'm like, he's bringing this lady into his house. He's showing her all his cool telescopes and stuff. Like, this isn't the Dracula I know and love. But then when you do the jump forward and you see sort of his reaction to her murder, you're like, I'm like, I believe this Dracula really, like, loved this girl.
It's a well-motivated Dracula.
It is. And you don't even see you don't see any of them falling in love. You don't see any of the marriage, the courtship. It comes across so strongly without you having to witness any of it. I don't know why it was so concise.
I mean, there's something about like their first interaction where she is so like, this is what I need from you. This is what I want. And he's like, I normally kill people, but okay.
But I think I like you, human.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that is like the strength of, because Warren Ellis wrote,
yes,
all four episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think like his like years of experience, and he's just a really good writer in general,
yeah,
is what makes that work.
For sure. And I think like it has a quality of Warren Ellis stuff is sort of characters light on dialogue. Like, I think he writes a lot of character motivation through what they're not saying and what they're not doing. And there's a lot of not saying and a lot of not doing in this, right? Like Colin was saying, you don't see Dracula and Lisa. You don't see them.
Right. I think that's right.
You don't see them fall in love. But like you get the kind of fundamentals of their personalities, and then you're to extract the love that they fall in.
Well, and that's a really interesting point about one of his strengths being kind of like a lack of dialogue. Is in the second and third episode,
Chatty.
There is so much talking and not much doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, man, I could not care less about any of the church stuff that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, they jump right to, like, the church is always bad all the time, which, like, makes them effective bad guys. But
I
like,
guess, but you have bad guys in the form of demons,
right,
who come into like villages at night and murder babies.
You see, now,
you know, like you don't need.
I thought another reason Patrick wanted me to watch this was because he knows my feelings about the Catholic Church, and he thought I would just be into it.
The Catholic Church does not feature prominently in any of the games.
No,
like,
well,
I don't know why. Like,
in fact, well, here's the thing: is that I wonder if, because the church does feature pretty heavily into a lot of like monster movie mythos, but they don't in the games, I think partially because Nintendo had this very strict, like, we don't show religious iconography.
In the US.
In the US,
yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of that stuff, as it would have appeared in Castlevania, was censored. There are still like crucifixes on like the holy water item or whatever, but like the translation for Castlevania 2 like takes out like anything that it's also poorly translated, but it's scrubbed of all religious iconography.
So Dracula is so cool in this first episode.
Yeah.
And I mean, this show is extremely gory.
Yes.
It's like raining blood.
Yeah.
Raining blood. Sometimes, you know, a demon's face will get whipped in half.
Oh, my God.
Human beings,
yes,
will just be ripped in half by demons.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was such a artful reveal of that woman who, like, the demon, like, flies by her real quick, and then she whips around, and you see her face and half her body's torn off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I loved it. I was
yeah, so that first episode is so cool.
Yeah.
We love, I just want to see more Dracula.
Yes.
And then no Dracula.
Okay, so
no more Dracula. Everything that's cool, we're just going to take it away from you.
So I assume now, having seen a little more of it, the second and third episode, that the main character of the video game is Trevor.
That's right.
That's who you play as?
So this is kind of like a prequel to the third game, to Castlevania 3.
The series we just watched. Okay.
Which is in itself kind of a prequel to the original Castlevania.
Yes. And so Trevor Belmont,
we're in double prequel territory.
Trevor Belmont is one of the he's like the main playable character in Castlevania 3.
Okay.
Yes. So yeah, he's the main playable character, and then there are three sub characters.
Gotcha.
One is, help me with the name, Sifa.
Oh man, I don't know how to say it.
The girl,
the speaker. The speaker.
Yeah. Why? I don't know.
Yeah. Into the microphone, Colin. She is the speaker / wizard, and another one is Alucard, who we met, Colin met only briefly, and
the blonde guy, yeah, which is Dracula's son, and Alucard is Dracula backwards.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh my god, if I ever have a son, I'm naming him Nylock.
Do it!
Oh, that's great! Nylock is actually a really good version of that. Mine would just be Cram.
Yeah. You might win. I was having a hard time working out my name backwards. Patrick. Kurtap? No, thank you. And then the third sub character in the game is a pirate by the name of, and this is real, Grant Dynasty. He does not appear in the first season of the Castlevania show.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
So Castlevania 3 is basically Trevor and the other three characters working together to defeat Dracula. So that's what they've kind of like set up in this series.
Okay.
And it does very much feel like a prologue to something better.
Yeah. Well, I assume from the first episode, I was insanely excited because I was like, I had no idea. Well, honestly, I had no idea what any of it was. But then when I was like, oh, this is a Dracula revenge story from the perspective of Dracula?
But
yes,
it's not.
Ma'am.
It's just not that.
And it's not.
No, but that sounds awesome.
I would watch that. Yeah. I mean, before I finally finish it and watch the fourth episode, I may just watch the first one again because it was really good.
I think that's a great idea. Honestly, like, I think you can just watch the first and fourth episodes and get...
Totally. Especially if you saw the first, like, 3 minutes of the second episode and you're like, that's Trevor Belmont. That's all you need.
Here's the thing. Trevor Belmont sucks as long as he's wearing... I mean, period. Trevor Belmont sucks, period, end of statement. But he sucks more when he's wearing this, like, giant furry overcoat thing.
You don't like his Robb Stark look?
I don't like his Robb Stark look, or his Ned Stark look, or his any other male Stark look. I don't think it looks good.
So, to me, part of the problem was I think the dialogue was fine. For whatever reason, the... like performance reminded me a lot of who's the guy in Bill and Ted? What's that? Keanu Reeves. It was very like Keanu Reeves to me, where like at the end of every line, I just expected him to be like, whoa, like, dude.
Of Trevor?
Yeah.
Of Trevor Belmont?
Yeah.
So you're saying that Richard Armitage in Castlevania equals
was doing like a Keanu Reeves thing.
Keanu Reeves.
It was really like weirding me out.
I don't know that I got those vibes, but he does.
That's fair. <I'm> not
but like there is, he doesn't sound like he's in the 1400s, right?
No.
And actually maybe none of the characters really do.
You know who he reminded me? It was a bit of a stretch to feel 1400s. It felt like maybe 1800s, 1900s.
I don't know. The like modern swearing in thing, because like they're all speaking like kind of with a modern like dialogue. It's a little bit like watching a Deadwood, but I mean not that smart, not as smart as Deadwood. But like the Deadwood characters all swear the way that like we would expect rough and tumble people to swear now, right?
Right. But part of, I think part of why that worked in Deadwood is that made it relatable to us now. If they were, you know, I don't have a late 1800s swear word off the cuff to use an example, but if they, because they were talking like we're accustomed to, it made them more relatable. So you just got to the character more than like the world of it.
Right. And this, I feel like in this thing that it's using the swearing to build the world, like especially the beginning of this second episode is really where I'm not actually sure there is any cursing in the first episode. It's just really violent.
Dracula, I don't think curses.
It doesn't seem like Dracula's thing.
But he's too elegant. So yeah. He's from even before the 1400s.
That's right. So the second episode starts in a bar, right? And there are two guys talking about a third party who won't stop having sex with a goat. And they're using the saltiest language that you've ever heard.
Sorry, this is kind of off a little off topic, but I was never really sold on why everybody hated the Belmonts.
Yeah,
this world.
Yeah,
right. So the drunk guy, the guy who owned the goat. sorry, I was told to try to not start swearing.
If it happens, it happens.
Colin. I know, but I'm explaining my little hiccup there. No, but that guy, he didn't even have a clear reason why. Because at first he was like, oh, yeah, like, bring the demons on. It's time for the demons to, like, clean house. And I hope this city gets destroyed. And I hope this family dies. And then when they find out that Trevor Belmont is there, he's like, oh, this is your fault because your family was so into demons. He's like,
yeah, it seems to be that they, like, practiced black magic and everybody... Nobody likes that because everybody's religious. Is that?
It seemed to me like the standard criticism of superheroes, where it's like the only reason there are supervillains is because there are superheroes here to fight them, which I've never understood. That people are like, Batman, this is your fault. You're like, what? Batman's stopping these guys. What's your the Belmonts are killing demons.
I don't think the word was out that the Belmonts were killing demons. From what I understood, I think they were perceived to be like demon worshippers, right? And that's why they were excommunicated and everyone was pissed.
I mean, that's fine headcanon, but I don't know. No, I mean, that might be right.
Yeah, that might be right.
The drunk guy said that. I don't know. Maybe.
No, you could be right. Everybody keeps hating on the Belmonts, and I understand why the church doesn't like them. Because they practice black magic.
Sure.
But I don't know why anybody else cares.
Well, the church is in charge.
Right.
The church is the governing body.
Yeah. Yeah, we get a lot of the church.
We get too much of the church.
Like, the whole conflict between them and the speakers, don't care about.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why we spent two episodes learning who these speakers were. I was like, well, where's Dracula?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, to be fair, that's sort of what they're working towards as well, right? Like, the speakers have this belief that there is, you know, a chosen warrior sleeping beneath the city that will, wake up and defend them. And that is Alucard.
Alucard.
Who is Dracula's son, and Dracula spelled backwards. So, like, yeah, it's one of those things where, like, there's a dumb hiccup or a dumb hurdle in the way of us getting what we want in this series. And it's called the church and the speakers, right?
But if it were Dracula just effing up the Catholic Church for 2 hours, I would own it on Blu-ray by now. Like,
yeah, I mean, or if it was just like, Trevor and his, Alucard and his sorcerer lady and Grant Dynasty, of course.
Of course.
Storming Dracula's castle and Dracula fighting back, like, that would be awesome, too.
It was also super cool when, I'm just recounting things that I thought were awesome.
Great.
But, like, was it the end of the first episode or the second episode when a year had passed? Because Dracula gave them 1 year
to
leave. Was that the end of the first episode, right? And, like, so they're at the
Yeah,
the big Archbishop comes out.
Mm-hmm. It was like the opening of the Death Star.
Yes.
And what do you call it?
Star
Force
Wars.
Awakens. Fork.
The Fork Awakens.
But then the cathedral collapses.
Yes.
And then Dracula's castle rises from the chasm.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
And the design of the castle is so video gamey because it's got those like cliff edges that are jutting out in these impossible angles and like all these spires and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think about the way the show looks? Cause it's got a little bit of an anime style, but not really.
Yeah. It's cause it's Western produced. Like it's not from Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I dug it. It kind of reminded me of anime of the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. It felt more like it's not super fluid animation, and in that way almost felt more like a motion comic with in-betweens.
It did. It did have a vibe of motion comic, actually. Yeah.
With that comes a lot of cool staging and a lot of interesting designy things, but I don't know, a lot of character faces look wonky a lot. People have lumpy, wrinkly faces, and occasionally the lip sync is weird. I know there were a couple times where I saw characters speaking, moving their lips to other characters' lines. There's one very early that between Dracula and Lisa where she's speaking and he's moving his lips.
Well, maybe it's when actors memorize each other's
lines.
That's
right.
And so they're just mouthing
it.
Yeah,
in the over-the-shoulder shot. But
yeah.
It's no one's going to pay attention to that.
I wonder if, because the whole, so that it's only, this first season is only 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. Each one is around half an hour, but not exactly half an hour. I wonder if this was originally commissioned as a movie.
I mean,
right?
I think
that got that it was originally just supposed to be a film, and then they maybe not even for Netflix, and then it got turned into a series with the promise of more down the line.
You know what I would say is evidence that points to that? So between the first episode ends with Trevor in the bar, and then the second episode opens with Trevor in the bar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the opening of the second episode is the last line of dialogue from the first one, but from a different angle. It's something about that made me think they literally just started the next episode with a half step backwards and then
kept going,
but made one shot and then it went straight into the rest of the scene. So it wasn't it wasn't an end of a scene and then a beginning of another. It wasn't a proper cliffhanger of any way. It was almost well, at a half hour, we're in the middle of this scene, so let's find a blow line that we can break it in half at.
Right. Well, I think it's also telling that the only time we get a full opening sequence or opening credit sequence is in the first episode.
That's right.
After
that,
it's just a title card.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was because, you know how sometimes Netflix will skip the title sequences? Because I noticed that too. And I liked the opening credit sequence.
I did too. I thought it was
awesome.
I thought it was really cool.
So I was hoping to see it every time, actually.
Here's the thing. I have the exact same experience and opinion about Glow. The first episode has an awesome credit sequence with all this psychedelic, cool wrestling stuff. And then we never see that again.
Yeah.
And I thought this is going to be a cool way to get me psyched up at the beginning of every episode of Glow.
Maybe that's just a... I can't even think, but
Netflix?
Just, maybe that's just a concession. That's what I was looking for. The word was, maybe that's just a concession to the way we watch TV on Netflix was just streaming to back to back, where it's nobody wants to see even now, I hate the Game of Thrones credits, opening sequence
because
it takes forever.
Right. Yeah, when I'm watching Game of Thrones, I know I have to go to 3 minutes into the stream to just start the episode.
So if you were binging, which I was, I watched all these back to back to back, I could see why they would be there's no need.
Right.
Yeah.
And
that
I
makes
think
sense.
Netflix did the thing where it automatically skips your titles when you're watching multiple episodes in response to that problem. So it's not that big of a leap that they would say, hey, since we're producing so much of our own content, let's just go ahead and do that so we don't have to skip. But I agree. A good title sequence. I mean, like, you think of a show like The Sopranos.
Right.
And
it
I
gets
could watch,
you there.
If I watch 10 episodes of Sopranos in a row, I want to hear the theme song 10 times in a row, you know?
Yeah. Well, Sopranos is also very, like, for as serialized as it is, like, it's also very smartly episodic,
mm-hmm.
right? So that, like, each episode is a complete experience. And again, that's not what we have in Castlevania,
right?
That, like, if you were to just sit down and be like, here, my friends, let's watch episode 3 of Castlevania,
mm-hmm.
no one would know what was going on. No one would have a good time. Some of your friends would fall asleep.
That would be a pretty hilarious social experiment, though.
If you were just like, here's my new favorite show.
We're going to start at episode 3. Wait, do you tell the people before they arrive at your house, or do you surprise them?
You surprise them.
Yeah.
Say, I bet you're wondering why I summoned you all here.
There's candles everywhere.
Like it's like an Agatha Christie novel.
Yes. Okay. Why I've summoned you to the drawing room.
I did think the action was pretty cool in this.
Yeah.
What is your favorite action sequence in this?
So my favorite fight is in the fourth episode. Because the fourth episode, everything gets cool again. Like,
yes.
You have the demon with, like, the glowing eyes and, like, teeth and everything.
The one who confronts the bishop? Or,
yeah. Like, he's awesome. And then even seeing Trevor lead the, I was going to say, the village people to,
that's right.
Yeah.
In the YMCA.
Yeah. But, like, lead them against in the way they, like, put salt on their swords, mm-hmm. and everything like that.
It's cool and tactical, and he's, like, telling a priest to, like, go bless the water and make it holy water.
Yeah.
And he's having Sifa, the wizard girl.
Yeah, the wizard girl. Oh, this is bad. It is bad.
We should know her name. Having her, like, make ice walls to, like, box them in. Like, it's cool and it's tactical, and he's, like, this is where he whips a monster's face in half.
Oh,
like,
that's cool.
Sifa. Confirmed.
Sifa. Is that what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, you pronounce it.
Yeah. Is that not what it says there? So you like that sequence?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, my favorite part is anything that happens in the first episode.
Yeah.
Sure. I really liked the fight between Alucard and Trevor.
That was cool.
I thought that was a cool fight. And Alucard's got a very, like, Iggy Pop look to him in this, where, like, his pants are riding real low.
Then they have, like, straps that aren't really attached to anything.
Well, so his belt is, like, it's like an X belt, right?
Yeah.
It's like he's wearing two belts.
Put on front and back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome, Mark. While I was watching, I was like, how could I pull off a belt like
this?
He
also has the thinnest, longest sword to go with his, like, waif of a body.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's Colin, you got to watch this episode.
I'm going to watch it. Dude, I feel really bad. I haven't watched it at this point. It feels a little unprofessional, to be honest.
Was the Cyclops fight in the third episode?
It's in the second, because then.
Then what happens in the third episode?
God, who knows?
Maybe it is in the third episode, because I think the second episode is him, Trevor in the bar, and then mm-hmm. he leaves, goes to the town.
He scopes a little info from the village
which
people.
Which was my favorite part, because that's like straight out of video games, where it's like, you're in a marketplace, talk to the NPCs and get, like, information that's helpful to your
quest.
And
it's like the director, even, like, you know when you're playing an RPG and you, like, talk to someone and you just, like, hit A until the conversation is over?
Yeah, it's all, like, fading, like, on top of each other and everything.
You don't need any of this information, actually.
That was the part that, to me, it felt like an intentional homage to, like, video games.
Yeah, that was, I mean, even for someone who doesn't play video games, I have experienced enough to know that was very real.
But and then and so he goes to and so then he finds out that, like, they don't like the speakers. He goes to the speakers. The speakers are like, we're not leaving. He's like, oh, will you leave if I go get the body of your grandchild?
Son, yeah.
And he's like, yes. And then he leaves, falls down. There are, like, lights, but I think that's the end of this. I don't know when it happens. I think it's the beginning of the third.
So Stone Cyclops something that does not make sense to me. And
is that not in the game?
Is it? Okay. It's something that Trevor Belmont immediately intuits. And we're in a Castlevania game, right? So we're in a game that adheres to the rules of like monsters, movie monsters, right? If you have something that's turning people into stone, what are we expecting? We're expecting Medusa or a basilisk or something that turns people into stone. Well, like, here's a Cyclops?
Yeah.
Shooting like a stone laser out of its eye?
Well, that's what I didn't entirely understand. Because they have electricity. But the Cyclops did not run on electricity. Right?
Well, yes. Well, because the Cyclops have electricity, magic. And you do not run on electricity. So I don't see how that's necessary.
Whoa, slow down.
Well, just because they seemed... It was like the electricity was introduced, and then the Cyclops appears and has like a glowing, like eye type thing. And
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, and he's also guarding like Alucard's tomb or whatever.
Yes.
Which in the fourth episode we see is like protected with all these mechanical things.
Mm-hmm.
And they even refer to the traps as like machines.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a great question. So this could be the answer to the Buffy question is like, is this just a robot? This is a weird robot episode of the Castlevania series.
I think if you only are doing four episodes, you cannot afford a weird robot episode, especially at number two. That's insane.
Apparently, they felt like they had like two episodes to pad, right?
So that's
like
right.
Maybe, but I mean, I would to like run a counterpoint on myself. I don't think that they're related because. It has to be magic, because electricity does not cause people to be statues and then not statues.
Right.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, I think, so, the Cyclops, to me, it is an interesting point, like, just from a storytelling perspective, because they were leading you in a path that ended up going nowhere.
Yeah.
I missed it, but that was a really good catch. But, yeah, I think the Cyclops, wholly organic / mystical, the electricity... was just because...
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because homegirl, what was her name? Lisa? Because
nope.
Lisa was super...
the Dracula's...
Dracula's wife.
Wife. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lisa was just like super good at science. Or wait, was Dracula better
at
science?
I think Dracula is the one that's like really good at science and she learns from him. So I think the reason that Alucard's... Is that right? Is that how you say that?
That's how I've been saying
great.
It. Yeah.
His tomb is protected by it is because of Dracula's knowledge. Does that work out?
Yeah.
Or Dracula's mom's knowledge? Or
well, you see, now
Alucard's
I feel like
knowledge.
Dracula's mom?
I think you meant Alucard's mom.
Wait.
Oh, is Alucard Lisa's kid?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
At least that's the...
That's the implication.
It wasn't, it wasn't a child from a previous
marriage. No, it wasn't a blended family. Although, that'd be nice.
Well, now I'm starting to think if Lisa didn't invent the light bulb,
I don't think she did. I think the implication is that Dracula
Lisa
is the one that has
Edison.
Yeah. No, now I'm starting to think. Well, we all know Edison's a hack. Edison did not invent the light bulb.
Sorry,
okay.
Sorry, Colin. I don't want to start this fight with you again.
No, but now I'm starting to feel like she's a little underwritten. She was in literally two scenes.
Right.
But I carried on her memory. It's like, oh, look, she invented light bulbs and running water.
So there are... The show was renewed.
Okay.
It's coming back for another 8 episodes.
When did this come out?
Friday.
Friday.
Oh, okay. That was quick.
Yeah.
So we weren't the only three people who watched
it. Well, it was renewed on the day it was released. But I'm actually pretty sure when it was announced... that it was coming to Netflix, it was announced that it was coming for 2 seasons because, again, I think this was a movie at some point to a larger, like, enterprise.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, I also think that's just Netflix standard, too. Like, they know if there's hype around a thing that they're putting out before they put it out. Like, they probably already know how something is performing before they release it.
Also, this had to have been dirt cheap.
Oh, yeah. Super cheap. Because it doesn't really sound like Armitage or Callis are invested in these performances really at all, right?
And it's only 4 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And while I appreciate the style of it, you know, cheaply animated.
For sure. So, 8 more episodes on the way.
Mm-hmm.
what kinds of things did we not get from these first four episodes that we feel like we need to see in order to have like the Castlevania contract fulfilled?
I don't know, a battle through Castlevania's, like Dracula's castle.
Through Dracula's castle. That would be a good, monsters, more monsters.
Yeah.
We saw demons and one stone cyclops.
I mean, I don't think.
A concept I don't understand.
Yeah, it'd be cool if we saw like, I don't think we're ever going to see like Frankenstein monsters or anything.
Oh, come on.
Wait, are those in the games?
You bet.
Yeah.
Oh man.
But that's because originally it was more of like a, like monster mashup type thing.
A monster mash. Yeah.
But this is obviously much more like, it's become much more self-serious.
Uh-huh.
So yeah. The games for probably the last 20 years didn't really feature any of that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but it would still be nice to see some, like anything else in that. Like, even if we saw, you know, if there are vampires around, that means there are werewolves, right?
Oh, totally.
Like, anything else that or like barring, fits in the same like gothic like, horror yeah. universe.
It'd be, you could have fish monsters in there. They're like,
yeah,
creatures from the Black Lagoons, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, could you see this as going like, I mean, I guess 8 episodes, it's twice as many, but it's not really like, can you imagine it becoming like a more serialistic series with like a monster of the week kind of thing? Like he goes to, we're pursuing Dracula through different places, but on our way, we're seeing like, there's a fish monster in this village we have to kill, and there's a wolf man over here we gotta fight.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is always, or what's built into its DNA right now is like, tell a story.
Right.
I mean, I would love that, and I think it would totally work if they saw this as a something that could run forever.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if this was in the 90s, yes, I think that's exactly what we would get. But I totally think this is like, like second season will probably be it, right? We'll get to Dracula's castle.
I mean, I think one of the things that is nice about having the show just called Castlevania and not called like Castlevania 3 Dracula's Curse or whatever is that, like, I could see them changing which game they're like doing an homage to in different seasons. It'd be like, no, this is the Symphony of the Night season. This is the Simon's Quest season. Like I think that that's something that a huge long running series of video games affords them, that like they can pick different settings and different tones and stuff. But we'll see if that's actually the course they take.
I mean, really what this watching this made me want is another 2D Castlevania game.
Well, Bloodstained will be out in like
next
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a bummer that Konami has basically thrown in the towel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see that the same executive producer is working on an Assassin's Creed cartoon type thingy?
Hmm.
That's another series that could take place in any number of centuries with any number of characters in any different location.
I mean, I think the reason this one is as good as it is because of Warren Ellis, basically.
So let's talk about that statement. Is this series as good as it is? Like,
I liked it. I mean, like, even though I'm complaining about the middle two episodes,
yeah,
like, I will totally watch more of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll totally watch more too. I don't know if it's because it's good.
Right. I mean, I guarantee I will watch at least one more episode of it. No, I did dig it. Like, it's exactly as good as it is. It's no better or worse than that. But
bold stance from Colin J. Morris.
Yeah. No, it was cool. I think
Popeye
the things...
defense. I think I am what I am.
But without any like, without any of like context or like history of it, you know, I came in wanting something very specific. That, well, I didn't know I wanted it until they gave me a little bit. But once it kind of veered from the sort of like ultra violent, like crazy, you know, high action monster sort of story, I did lose a little interest in it. But that's not to say that I can't follow what is essentially a fairly simple story,
yeah,
and, you know, wade through that in order to get more of my monster fix. If that's what it takes, I did enjoy it, and I could see myself watching more, you know?
It's just so interesting to me that, like, the thing that we, like, the motivation thing that we all respond to and, like, get really into is Dracula.
Yeah.
And then the series is like, well, we did a very good job with that, but now no more.
So the fourth episode, I'm not going to get any more cool Dracula stuff?
No. I mean, I feel like Alucard's a close second, though, right? Like, he's still a vampire. He's also maybe motivated in some way by his mother being killed.
Yeah, but I think that if the things you liked about the series were in the first episode, that does not repeat itself.
No, that's right.
Don't really get more of that.
All right, maybe I won't watch the fourth episode.
No, watch the fourth episode, Colin. If for no other reason, then you can see this belt I'm talking about.
And you'll be able to determine whether Patrick can pull it off or not.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I'm picturing it, and I imagine you got to have some fairly severe hip bones for it to just
that's
work
very
logistically.
True. That's very true.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. Also, I feel like I need a flatter stomach.
He has a V going on, definitely.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that I would recommend this to just, like, somebody who isn't a fan of Castlevania, honestly.
Well, Patrick would, obviously.
You enjoyed it well enough, Colin.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
I explained what it was to Sarah, my girlfriend, and said, do you want to watch this with me? And she said, no. Which seems about right.
That sounds right. If somebody... So I guess there's one way you could sell it for me, and I don't want to just keep going over the same path again. But if you told me Dracula's wife gets killed and he's pissed at the Catholic Church for doing it and he wants revenge, I'd be like, yes, I'll watch every episode of that. And then you're like, well, that's just the first episode. Then a bunch of other stuff happens.
Be like, okay, all right, fine.
All right, yeah, we'll see how far we get.
What's the time investment? Less than 2 hours?
Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I think that does it for our conversation about the first season of Castlevania on Netflix. Colin, do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Yeah, so I also do a podcast. It's called Indie Cred. My partner, Zane LaRue Dickinson, and I talk to people who we feel have indie cred. And we talk to them about how they make their movie or record their album or do whatever it is they do that makes them awesome. And you can find every episode of that on sexytornado.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also find a lot of cool stuff from Drac and the Swamp Rats on sexytornado.com. It's got a link to their website, which I assume is dracandtheswamprats.com. I'm not sure.
How would you describe the music that Drac and the Swamp Rats plays?
Oh, so Drac and the Swamp Rats is fright punk. And so there's, I guess I could break it down. So you got Frankenstein playing drums. The Mummy is on bass, Wolfman guitar. Igor is the lab assistant / theremin player. And of course, Dracula is the front man doing the vocals. King of the night, you know.
Right.
But I should actually ask him next time I see him what he thinks of Castlevania.
Yeah.
He may love it. He may think it's a pretty good portrayal. Yeah, but they actually... So Swamp Rats have a summer single coming out, and there's going to be a video accompanying that. And if you go to the website, I know there's like some shows coming up, and you can check them out and get the dates and locations for that.
Cool. Well, Colin, thanks for joining us.
Dude, thank you guys. This is fun.
And of course, we'd always love to hear what you thought of the Castlevania Netflix series in its 4-episode splendor. You can send any feedback or any questions that you had about what we were talking about to NintendoCartridgeSociety@gmail.com. That's going to do it for this episode of Nintendo Cartridge Society. We would love for you to rate and review us on iTunes. Tell a friend. You know someone who plays Nintendo games and isn't listening to this show. You know someone. Maybe you should tell them to listen to this show. Thanks. Also, if you want to follow us on Twitter, we are at Nincart Society. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. People know how to use those things and can just search. It's weird to give our handles. If you like Mark and Mine's opinions, we write about comic books every week on Retcon Punch. Olivia Duncan made our logo. Our music is provided by 8-Bit Betty. You can find more of his music by going to 8bitbetty.com or by listening right now. We'll be right back. For my co-host Mark Mitchell, this is Patrick Ellers saying it's okay to fall asleep during one of these episodes. Maybe two of them. And thanks for listening.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?